You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
What's up, Redemption Community Church? It's so good to be with you this weekend. My name's Brad Leach, and I'm the lead pastor of City Life Church in South Philadelphia, and I am the president of the Pastor Jeremy and Amy Ziegler fan club. Seriously, I love your pastors so much. They are great friends. They are great leaders. And I know that you know this, but it's great to be reminded sometimes. You are blessed as a church with amazing leaders, shepherds, a man and a woman of God who love each other, who fight for you, who love you as a church. And I just couldn't be more excited about what God is doing through you and what the future has in store for Redemption. And we're in this series as a church right now called New Normal. And here's the question we're asking. What if normal isn't something to go back to? What if it's something to look forward to? And so I want to simply ask you this question today. Is the future something that you are looking forward to? Because there's no doubt we are in a season of profound, monumental change. We've got changes that are happening on a global scale with the pandemic and the changes that it's bringing to the economy and to education and healthcare and travel and work and our relationships. And it feels like just about every other aspect of life. And I don't know about you, but I have just felt totally disoriented at times over the past 3 months with how quickly it feels like our world has changed. In addition to that, we're experiencing a crisis right now around race and equality and justice in our country. And so while so much is changing, there's this other area where we're saying, what's it going to take for this to change? And so we're in a time of feeling how quickly things can change on the one hand, but on the other hand, how difficult it can be to see change happen in systems and mindsets that just don't reflect the heart of God for our country and our relationships. And then, you know, once we get past the global and national struggles we're experiencing right now, we've got hundreds of smaller and more personal changes and transitions that so many of us are experiencing. Changes that may be smaller compared to a global pandemic, but that still feel very, very big to those of us who are experiencing them. For some of you, it's adjusting to life without somebody that you've lost. Maybe you lost a spouse or a parent this year and you're overwhelmed in the transition of living your life without them. For some of you, it's adjusting to a new job or being out of a job, which is forced your income to change, and as a result, your budget to change, and you're in the middle of that transition. Or maybe you just graduated, and so you're experiencing the change of a season from being a student to taking some next steps into a new program or a new school or a new career. And the truth is that in life, change is always happening, whether we realize it or not. And at times, change can be exciting and exhilarating, but I think for a lot of us, if we're honest, it can feel overwhelming. And so today, what I want to do is talk about our attitude toward change. And I want to start by asking you a question. When you think about the changes that you're experiencing right now, do you feel optimistic or pessimistic? Do you have a feeling that things are changing and they're going to change for the better? Or do you feel more pessimism and negativity about the uncertainties of this season? Or maybe you're just kind of not really sure. Maybe you're like the one person I heard about who said, I'm not pessimistic. I'm actually very optimistic that everything in my life is going to go wrong. You know, someone else came up with something that I thought was a pretty good idea. They said, instead of a swear jar, I have a negativity jar. And so every time I have a pessimistic thought, I put a dollar in the negativity jar. And then they said, it's currently half empty. Come on, that's funny. I don't care how pessimistic or negative you're feeling, that is funny. While we're on the subject, how many pessimists does it take to screw in a light bulb? Any guesses? Put them in the chat box. The answer, of course, is none, because the light bulb, along with the rest of the world, is already screwed. All right, one more. I'm still living off the fumes of Father's Day. All right, so my dad jokes are going strong. What do you call a pessimistic horse? You ready? A naysayer. Naysayer. You're welcome. You know, some of us are gluttons for punishment and just can't get enough change. So in our house, we decided to bring a six-week-old puppy into our home in the middle of quarantine. And so I know this is probably a little selfish of me, but I just want to ask you, when God brings Fletcher to your mind, would you pray that he will stop going to the bathroom in our house? Prayer is powerful, but we are in that process right now of trying to get him house trained, and it's a process. And you know, one of the low moments for me was last week when I took him outside and I just decided, Fletch, we're not going back in until you go to the bathroom out here. And so I just sat outside with him for 30 minutes until, when I wasn't looking, one of our kids opened the door and that dog literally took one step inside the house, peed on the floor, and then came right back outside. Let's just say it's a good thing Fletch is so cute. But what is it that keeps us going with this dog? We believe a day is coming when he will no longer go to the bathroom inside. We believe this dog can get it. We believe the best. Some days it's hard to believe it, and having a dog feels very discouraging. But when I can see the vision, the hope of outdoor pooping, and when I can believe in the possibility of no more stains on our carpet, that attitude makes the accidents today much more tolerable. And so today, as we think about a world that's changing and a future that looks uncertain, I want to share with you a message that I hope will encourage you. And so here's my challenge today. Believe the best. I want to challenge you to believe the best about your future. I want to challenge you to believe the best about your current situation. I want to challenge you to believe the best about our world. I want to challenge you to believe the best about the people around you, and to believe the best about God, and to believe the best about what God is doing in your life. And the reason this is so important is because if we're not intentional, it's so easy to begin imagining the worst, isn't it? I have to laugh every time someone says to me, "What's the worst that can happen?" Because I don't know about you, but I can think of some things. And there are many times in my life when my imagination is just spinning up the worst case scenario. You know, it could be somebody who texts me and says, "Can we talk?" And all of a sudden my mind is racing, wondering, what do they want to talk about? Did I do something? Did I say something? Are they upset? And I can start to imagine the worst. And with our health, we can imagine the worst. And what's the result? You've experienced this. The more I imagine the worst case scenario, the worse I feel. My attitude becomes worse. My energy gets lower. How I see other people and interact with others becomes worse. And so don't miss this. There is a direct correlation between your beliefs about the future and your experience in the present. If you imagine the worst about the future, you will experience an overwhelming sense of dread and fear and anxiety in the present. But if you believe the best about the future, you will experience peace and hope and faith in the present. We can say it this way, and this is really the big idea for my message today. My expectations for the future shape my experience with the present. Let me say that again. My expectations for the future shape my experiences in the present. Have you ever met somebody that just seemed like they were really lucky? You know, just seems like they're naturally lucky, that they're always running into somebody who's famous, or they're always getting some amazing opportunity in their life. There's a guy named Richard Wiseman, and he's known for his scientific study of luck. He met so many people who just seemed lucky, he wanted to see if there was any science behind it. And basically, in his research, his conclusion was this, that lucky people kind of create their own luck, that there are people who are skilled at noticing opportunities that come their way. And since they expect good things to happen, they notice it and they're ready to greet it when it comes their way. His conclusion really is that luck is basically something that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, that if somebody is expecting something positive to happen and watching for something positive and anticipating something positive, then they are more inclined to recognize positive opportunities when they appear. And you know, the flip side of that is also true. When they experience something difficult, when something bad happens in their life, they don't dwell on it. They don't let it define them because they believe something better is on the way. And so the end result is someone who seems to live a charmed life, but in reality, It's all about their built-in assumptions and expectations in life. And the problem is that if you don't make it a practice to believe the best, you tend to get lost in the worst of what's happening. You simply can't build a positive life on defeated thoughts. And so again, here's my question for you today. With so much that's changing in our world and so much that still needs to change, what do you believe is true about the future? Do you believe that your life is going downhill and that your best days are behind you? Or do you believe that God is just getting started with you and that your best days are ahead of you? You know, I don't believe in random luck. I believe in a God who wants to pour out blessing and favor on his kids. I believe in a God who is good and who's always working and who will fulfill his promises to me. And so I want to expect to experience his blessing and anticipate his goodness. And this is why the Bible calls us to look toward the future with hope and optimism and faith, because what you see time and time again in Scripture is that God is never defeated by difficulty. God's people are never defeated by the difficult things that spin into their lives that are outside of their control. Instead, we see a God who turns things around. We see a God who works in the midst of it to bring about victory for his people and to accomplish his plan. And so you need to have faith in your life, not in dumb luck, but in a God who has a very personal and redemptive relationship to your future. So I want to set your mind on God's word today, and we're going to meditate on a powerful verse that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 6, and then we're going to really meditate on verse 9. But here's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Paul says, I have to speak differently about God depending on who I'm with. Now, if I'm with believers who are mature, I can really get into some things that would be a mystery to a lot of other people. And then he continues, verse 7. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. He says, you're not going to be able to understand everything God's doing. God's bigger than us, and so a lot of what he's doing in our lives and through our lives is a mystery. It's hidden. A lot of what he's doing in our world is veiled. And then he says this, and this is our key verse today. Look at this, verse 9. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. He quotes this from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 64, verse 4, that no eye is seen, no ear is heard. I love this. I hope this encourages you today. For those who love God, who are rooted in him, we can't even imagine what God is preparing for the future. And there is in this powerful little verse that we see in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, three truths that are so big, they should rewire the way we think about the future. And here's the first one. I want you to get this down. God is working in ways we can't detect. What God is doing is something that eyes can't see, and it's something that ears can't hear, and it's something that doesn't always enter into our minds and hearts. And the example that he gives in our text is straight from the life of Jesus. Look back at it one more time in verse 7. Look at what we just read. He said, the wisdom we speak of, it's the mystery of God. It's his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. In other words, what Jesus came to accomplish wasn't something God came up with when Jesus was 5 or 6. He didn't say, well, my son's on the earth now. I wonder what we should have him do. It wasn't a spur of the moment idea. It's something God had been planning and preparing since before the world began. Something that was in God's mind and heart from the beginning when sin came into the story. From the beginning, God launched a plan to save and forgive and send Jesus to restore broken lives. Yet still, when Jesus came to meet people, he was hidden and it was still a mystery and it was something that people couldn't quite detect. Jesus spent his life actually talking with people who had spent their lives praying for the Messiah to come. And he was there in their presence and they couldn't detect what God was up to. And so Paul says, if they could have detected what Jesus was really up to, they wouldn't have killed him. So listen, what do we learn? God is often moving in our lives and in our present circumstances undetected. And so when we get discouraged because it feels like our lives aren't going anywhere, when we get discouraged because it feels like we're stuck and things will never change, when we get discouraged because it feels like God has forgotten about us, the truth is that He is ever present, always with us and moving all of the time, accomplishing His plan and moving our lives toward a promising future. Write this down. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean God isn't doing it. Come on. This is so important. Why? Because if we believed this, if we really believed that God is always working, even when we can't detect His activity, we would have a very different attitude about the future. I'll just be totally honest with you. There were times this week that I felt so heavy. The best word I can use to describe my emotions this week might be the word at times, despair. I felt so overwhelmed by the division in our city, the division in our country. I felt so broken over the hate that so many people feel and the pain that so many people are experiencing. It was just difficult to see how things could get better. I just kept hearing this voice in my head saying, it's always gonna be this way. And so if it feels like I'm preaching with a little extra passion this week, it's because I am fighting hard to believe this scripture is true. I had to wrestle with this verse right here that we just read and decide whether or not I believe this is true about God. And I'm just gonna tell you, this is where I'm choosing to put my faith, that just because I can't see it doesn't mean God isn't doing it. My eyes may not see it, and my ears may not detect it, and my feelings may be going up and down, but I believe God is up to something, and that it's beyond what I can imagine for a promising and brighter future. Number two, get this down. God is creative in what He plans. He's creative. What does Scripture say about God's plans for the future? Verse 9. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We can't always detect it, but look at this. And no mind has imagined what He's prepared for those who love Him. Our eyes can't see it, our ears can't hear it, and our minds can't even imagine it. Why? Because God is always creating things we've never seen before. Check out this picture of a hummingbird. I read an article this week that just fascinated me. Scientists are discovering that hummingbirds can see this impressive array of colors that really are invisible to the human eye. And the discovery came out of a series of experiments using sugar water and LED tubes. But what they discovered is that hummingbirds can see ultraviolet light. So they not only see all the colors we see, but they see a whole series and set of colors that are produced by the combinations of the colors we see with ultraviolet light. And so this ability, it helps them home in on flowers that have nectar that are covered in patterns that are imperceptible to the human eye. They see colors we can only imagine. And so these birds see and experience a world that is bathed in all of these creative hues. We can only imagine the difference between what they see and what we see. But scientists think it's as big of a difference as the difference between a black and white TV set to a color television. We're living in a world of color. They're living in a world of super color. And so God says to us, you can't see what I'm up to. You can't hear what I'm up to. And you really can't even imagine it. That's how creative I am. I'm just telling you, our God is a creative God, and He can get creative with your life. He can work outside of your limitations. You can't be too broke or too sick or too lost or too confused or too alone or too old or too far gone for God to step in and reinvent your life and your future, because He's not limited in any of those ways. He exists outside of space and time, and He is a creator. You know, as I was putting this message together, here's what I felt like God put on my heart. Some of you are discouraged. And the reason is that you don't think your life could ever be as good as it used to be. Maybe you lost something, or maybe your life has drastically changed and you just miss the way it used to be. I think in times of intense change like we're in right now, we feel discouraged and defeated because we can't imagine how our lives could ever be as good as they were before. And that's the problem. My friend, we only have the ability to imagine our lives backwards. through the framework of what they used to be, through the framework of what we've already seen or heard or experienced. But don't you see, God lives outside of that framework and he imagines our lives forward. He's not bound to your past. He's not limited to what your life used to be. He is a creative creator and he works with a blank canvas. And so what he wants to do is not just make your life as good as it was before. He wants to make it better than it was before. He wants to bring you into a new season. He wants to reinvent some things in your life. So will you open your mind and heart to the creativity of God? What if God wants to give you some new relationships? What if God wants to give you some new opportunities? What if God wants to reveal some new talents that you didn't even know you had? If you can stop waiting for your life to go back to what it used to be, you can begin to anticipate and expect the new thing that God wants to creatively speak into existence in your future. One more thought from this verse, number 3. God always saves the best for last. There's a song I've been singing a lot lately, maybe the simplest lyrics of any song ever. But it simply says this about the Lord: you are good in the morning, you are good in the evening, you are good to me. And then there's this bridge that just gets repeated over and over. It says, you keep on getting better, you keep on getting better, you keep on getting better, you keep on getting better. All right, I'm gonna stop there and rein myself in before you all turn off the TV because of my singing. But that's God. He saves the best for last. He keeps on getting better. Look at our verse one more time. Verse 9. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, the definition of that word prepared is to subject something to a special process or treatment. It's how you prepare a piece of meat or a meal. You get the spices and invest the time and let it marinate and slow cook that baby. It's an incredible word that draws an intimate strategic connection between the present and the future. That something is being done today in the mind and heart of God, but with tomorrow in mind. So it will be ready tomorrow, better tomorrow, complete tomorrow. One translation says it this way: no mind can conceive what God has in store. Do you believe that? That God has some things that he's storing up for you, some things in store for you that are waiting for you in the future? That's how God relates to your future. He's getting it ready for you. And so right now, while you're living in the present, he's working on the future. He's preparing it for you. He's preparing you for the future, and he's preparing your future for you all at the same time. And guess what? He's using every experience in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, your victories and your regrets. He's using all of them as ingredients in the imaginative recipe he's cooking up for your future. And you can know this about our God: he always saves the best for last. He hasn't peaked. He hasn't aged out of his prime. He's eternal. He's unchanging. And he's actively engaged on preparing your future. I want to challenge you to believe this about your life. And I want to challenge you to believe this about the people around you. You know, the people around you who get on your nerves, the people around you who test your patience, they're not a finished product yet either. And so be someone who believes the best about people. If you can believe the best about others, then God can use you to pull the best out of others, to be someone who sees the untapped raw potential in the people around you and uses encouragement and grace to pull it out of them. Listen, anyone can see what's wrong with people. That takes no vision. I want to be someone who sees the best in people. Anyone can beat others down. I want to be someone who pulls others up, and I know you do too. Get this down. God isn't done yet. Maybe you've been making the mistake of believing you're done, but he's not. He's not done yet. And he always saves the best for last. So how do you feel about the future? What do you believe about your future? The problem for too many of us is that we fail to activate these truths. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And so I just want to close this message with a practical hook and application and challenge. And this is from Ephesians 6, verse 16, I think a really powerful picture. Here's what the Bible says. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So let's close with this picture. The imagery Paul uses here, it was borrowed from a large Roman shield. In his day, these things were huge. They were 4 feet high, 2 feet wide, basically big enough that a full-sized man could crouch behind it and be fully protected. So groups of soldiers could huddle together and put up this impenetrable shield and defense. And what he's saying is that we're in a battle. That's the reason, by the way, it's so hard some days to believe the best about the future. We're in a battle. And we have an enemy who's literally firing at us arrows. Arrows of fear. Fear that you'll never be okay. Fear that things will never work out. Arrows of accusation. That little voice that plays in our heads that says, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll always be an addict. You'll always be broke. You'll always be sick. Things aren't going to get any better for you. Those aren't just random thoughts you're having about the future. Those are fiery arrows that are being shot at you by the enemy of your soul. And so what it means to put up the shield of faith is that we have to confront those arrows with the word of God and the voice of truth. And that's how we build our faith. And so when that little voice says things are bad and they're never going to get better, put up the shield of faith that says, my God is good and he's making all things new. And when that little voice says, just compromise your standards, nobody will ever know, put up the shield of faith that says, God is doing a great work in my life, and I won't let the decision of a moment hinder and derail my destiny. And when that little voice says, you're not going to get through this, you're not going to make it, you need to stand on God's truth and say, his mercies are new every morning, and he who started a good work in me is going to be faithful to complete it, and believe that God is going to show up in your life. And when that little voice starts to whisper that the worst is on the way, put up that shield of faith and say, no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. My friend, God is moving. He's working. He's still blessing. He's still here. He won't abandon you. He won't move on or be hindered. His best is still to come in your life. When you are standing on God's truth, you can hold up under whatever problems are threatening to crush your hopes and steal your joy. I want to pray for you. And if you're watching this and your thoughts lately about the future have been negative, pessimistic, dark, if you've had a sense of dread or discouragement about the future, if you've been tempted to think that your best days are behind you, would you just stretch your hands toward the screen? I know it might feel a little awkward, but I want to have a connection with you right now. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for your sons and daughters who are watching this message, that you would renew their minds, that you would fill their hearts with faith, that you would help them believe the truth of your word, that they haven't seen or heard or even imagined what you're getting ready for them in their future. God, I pray that you would bring right now encouragement and life and faith to their thinking and to their attitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, God's moving. I just want to speak to one more group before we close. Maybe you're hearing this message. Your best days are still to come. And you're thinking, how can you be so sure? Well, look at the conclusion of our promise. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. No mind can imagine what God has prepared for who? For those who love him. This is where the certainty comes from. You know, if your deepest love is your job and the sense of purpose and significance that your career brings into your life, then the thought of losing your job could threaten you to the core and make you believe that your life is over without it. If your deepest love is another human being, a husband or a wife, or the thought, the dream of a husband or a wife, or a child, or a best friend who's just always been there, then the thought of losing them, or for some of you, the reality that you have lost them, could make you think that your best days are behind you. You see, lesser loves leave us vulnerable. But when our souls are captured by a love for the one who never changes, by a love for the one who will never leave us or forsake us, then we can look to the future with invincible optimism and hope. And so, I just want to ask one more question before we close. Is he your greatest love? If he's not, if you know you need to take a step of faith toward Jesus today, I'm going to pray right now, and I want to invite you to pray this closing prayer with me, to just reach out to him, to invite him into your life. He's here today to save. Pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm lost without you. I pray that you would change me from the inside out, that you would change my doubting heart to a heart filled with faith, that you would reorder the loves in my life so that you are number one. I confess my sin, forgive me, cleanse me. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, come on. For those of you who prayed that prayer and just reached out in faith to God, I love it. He's here right now. He's doing a new thing in your life. And here's what I want to encourage you to do, because the prayer team at Redemption, they're available and ready to pray with you and would love to connect personally with you about that decision you just made. And so there's a link coming up in the chat box. Would you just click that link and connect with some of the awesome people who are a part of this church and would love for you to receive some prayer today. But what an honor to be with you in your services. I'm praying for you, Redemption, and I want to just declare this over you and your awesome pastors, Jeremy and Amy. The best is still to come. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.